Good morning and welcome. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, a pastor here. Welcome you to worship at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. John Robbins is our liturgist this morning. We have Valerie Adams Hildreth playing the flute for us. We have Lynn Meyer playing the piano and the organ, and Earl Linhart directing our choir. If you are worshiping with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out one of the welcome pads that are at the right end of all the pews. Sign your name there, pass it to your left, pass it back, and note who you're worshiping with today. And following the service, you can invite each other to the coffee and cookie time, which today is downstairs because we have a special program downstairs. We have the Partners in Conservation craft store downstairs. They sell products made in Africa, and that is helps the economy of Africa, which then helps the environment in Africa. And so go on downstairs, have a good time. Coffee's downstairs. What's also downstairs is that we have access mobility equipment. And we are giving that away to anybody who would like to have a walker or a set of crutches or a shower chair, even if you don't need it now. You might need it, so you can take it home. John Cameron will be down there to help you look through that, what we have to give out. The only caveat is you're not allowed to bring it back, okay? The idea is we're trying to get rid of it, and what we don't hand out to you, we'll take to Goodwill and other places. So we thank you for doing that today. Last Sunday, we said goodbye to our Director of Youth and Family Ministries, the Reverend Heather Hicks, and she is on our now in her new ministry at the Otterbein Senior Living Centers as a chaplain there. But some of you may not have had a chance to say goodbye to her directly, so we do have a kudo board up that you can continue to sign through the end of November. And if you have any questions about that, you can ask Ann Bates, who is here this morning. Wave your hand, Ann, so people, there she is back there in the front of the rumble seat. Today is Veterans Sunday, and during the worship service day, we'll invite our military veterans to stand and announce their branch of service, and so we can recognize you and your service to our country. Discovery Zone, a program for of Christian fellowship and education for our kids, will be happening after worship today up in the Heart Room up there. And you're welcome to come and encourage others to come. The Genealogy Club will meet on Thursday. We have a new opportunity here. If you love theater, the Eclipse Theater Companies presents William Shakespeare's long-lost first play. Now, no, there was not really a long-lost first play, but this is a spoof on Shakespeare with three seasoned actors playing 47 roles. Can't wait to see that. We're getting a group together to go on December 3rd at 2 p.m. The Eclipse Theater is 915 Schrock Road, so not very far away. Mary Jane and Wayne Matthews are organizing this, and they're here in the front, so you can talk to them or call the church office to reserve a spot. Christmas is coming, and the first the Westerville Habitat Partnership's Progressive Concert is one of our Christmas traditions. It'll be on Friday, December 8th. For those who aren't familiar with this, you buy a ticket. The proceeds go to Delaware Habitat for Humanity projects. And then you get to be part of three concerts here at the three uptown churches, our church, Church of the Messiah, Church of Master. You start at one of those, the choirs of those various churches and other choirs will sing a concert for you, and then you will walk to the next church in a loop. And the idea is you get to hear some great music and help a very worthy cause. Tickets are on sale from our members of the Westerville Habitat Partnership, and they include John Cameron, Cameron, Bernie Sipkins, and Diana Westfall. Or you can order the tickets online. Just look up Westerville Habitat Partnership. And as part of that, I want to now thank the choir. They were busy rehearsing for that concert, so appreciate the extra effort you all put in for that. And finally, it's also time to order poinsettias. You'll see an order form in your bulletin this morning. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Call one another to worship. Come, let us gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We have come from many places.
Come and rest a while in this place.
We are in need of rest, for we have been busy doing the work of the Lord.
Come worship the Lord whom you serve.
Thank you.
Let's join together in the prayer of adoration. Oh God, you have always been there to help us, a steadying hand when troubled, a solid rock.
Please be seated. I'm going to invite the children that are here to join me way over here today. So, come on in. There we go. Join me along here if you would. That's great. Jesse, Simon, good to see you guys. Andrew and Emmett are here. Good to have you all here. I brought something today. I brought a flashlight. You know what flashlights are, right? You point them around, you get to see things. They're really helpful in the dark. And so I brought this flashlight from home and I turned it on. Right there's the switch. What's wrong? It didn't light, did it, huh? It's heavy. It's got batteries in it. So why didn't it light? The batteries are dead. They aren't, ma'am. You know that. These are rechargeable batteries, though. And I brought battery charger. And see, so I can put these batteries in here and plug this in, and they'll recharge, right? And I'll see if these batteries are recharged. These have been charging. Let's see if they've charged long enough, huh? Whoop. Hey, that was pretty good. For our next trick. There we go. See? And those batteries I just put in there, when I plug it in a few hours, they'll be charged up too, won't they? Sort of thing. And I was thinking about that for a lot of us, we get very busy during the week and get really tired out. And we come to church on Sunday to kind of recharge our batteries. I don't know if you ever thought of going to church kind of does that, but many of us do. We're tired and exhausted, and we come to church and we get recharged with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can recharge our batteries when we're feeling tired and worn out and have no energy left. Sometimes we get recharged coming to church. Sometimes we get recharged just having a quiet moment where we can pray to God and say, tell God what's going on in your life. So let's pray now, and I'll send you back upstairs. Lord God, recharge us when we are down and in low energy and worried about things. Remind us that your Spirit is with us always, and your Spirit gives us energy to live the life you've called us to live. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
One of our scripture readings this morning is from the book of Psalms. And Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. Listen carefully for the word of God. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or a goat from your folds, for every wild animal in the forest is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And may your vows be made to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 32nd verse. Hear now these words. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture. For they are to us an instruction for life. And so as we ponder them this morning, help us to learn your teachings through them. Amen. Christian author Richard Fairchild tells a story of how Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, Satan said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading the Bible and knowing the truth, so we have to do something else." Satan looked at his audience and went on, saying, "We have to steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus. This is what I want you to do. Distract them from gaining a hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day." One of the demons shouted out, "How shall we do this?" And the head demon said, "Keep them busy. Keep them busy with the non-essentials of life and invent schemes to occupy their minds. Persuade them to go to work for long hours, 6 and 7 days a week, 10 and 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Make them bring their work home so that there is no escape. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice of their God trying to talk to them. Entice them to desire noise at all time. Keep the radio on in the car, the TV on at home. make sure that they are attracted to their phone so that they must look at it constantly. All this will distract them from the important things and break their union with Christ. Keep them busy running errands, attending games, doing projects so that they don't have time to sit and rest, so they don't have time to reflect on God's creation. And when they do take a moment to rest, fill their minds with all the things they have to get done so that their minds will be busy even when their bodies aren't. And if they must talk to God, make sure that they don't have time to listen to God. Soon they will be doing everything with their own strength and draining themselves in the process. Then they will be ours. Do this and it will work. It will work, shouted the demons. And the convention ended, and the demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to have little time for their God and no energy to follow the teachings of Jesus. Which got me to thinking, did it work on you? And did it work on me? For many of us, Fairchild describes a picture of our world. I was talking to a fellow pastor this week, and she told me that the people of her church, her busyness, their busyness index was right here before the pandemic. And then she said the pandemic came, and the busyness index for most of them dropped down to here. And then the pandemic gradually ended and their busyness index started creeping back up. And now, she said, it's up to here. The thing is, they hated it when it was here. And now it's up to here. I don't know if that's true for you. It's true for a lot of people. For those who work, staffing shortages in all sorts of industries have made working extra hours a necessity. For others, they have to work two jobs just to pay the bills. For parents, that are not only the hours spent working, but there are the hours spent shuttling your kids around from one place to another. Even those who are retired are pressed into service in all sorts of ways, making many a retiree wonder if they are really retired. And the question for all of us is this: is our busyness getting in the way of connecting with God? Today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus busy doing many things. If we go back a few verses earlier, we would read that Jesus had already been to the synagogue to worship. And while he was there, he took time to cast out an unclean spirit. Then he traveled to Peter's home, where he spent his time healing. Jesus certainly was busy, but he was not distracted. And I think that is his point here. Ours is a busy world, and we're making it even busier. The crowds that gathered when Jesus came to town with him made him busy from dawn to dusk. And I don't even need to mention the rigors of travel or the irregular meals and the fact that he didn't even have a place to go home to. Certainly Jesus was busy, just as we seem to be. But Jesus teaches us two things about our lives in this passage today. First, we need to stay focused on our purpose. And second, we need to take time for God. First, Jesus teaches us that it's not the busyness that is our problem, it is the distractions. We allow ourselves to be distracted by our busyness, but not so with Jesus. I'm sure that Jesus could have had another full day of healing had he stayed in Capernaum, but he knew that that would be a distraction. As he says to his disciples, "Let us go to other towns so that I can proclaim the message For that is what I came to do. That is what I came to do. During one of the many wars in Europe in the 18th century, the English army had mounted cannons on a bluff overlooking the river. The cannons prevented the French from moving their ships down the river so they could attack the English. The French general assigned a company of troops to attack the English and spike their cannons, rendering them useless. The French soldiers stormed the bluff and drove the English from their cannons. The French immediately celebrated their victory by pursuing the English down the other side of the bluff. However, the English regrouped and attacked the French troops and sent them fleeing back down to the river. What was lost in all this was the fact that the French had failed to spike the cannons when they had first driven the English out. They had forgotten what their primary purpose was. Had they spiked the cannons instead of pursuing the English, they would have won the battle even if they had retreated afterwards. Jesus could not allow the demands of the crowd to distract him from his primary purpose, to proclaim God's message of love to all that he could. Certainly there was more healing work to be done in Capernaum, but he had other places to go, other people to teach. He needed to move on. And in addition to keeping that singular focus, Jesus also would never let his work keep him from finding time to be with God. Over and over in the Gospels, we read how Jesus would withdraw to a quiet place to pray. Even in this passage, we read that before dawn, he went off to pray. Decades ago, Kathy and I would watch the TV show ER. And not all of you are going to remember that show. But it was a drama about life in a hospital emergency room. And one of the things I still remember about that show is that whenever the doctors or nurses were overwhelmed by what was happening in the ER, they would retreat to the rooftop of the hospital so that they could decompress from the pressures. There they would gather their strength again and go back to the craziness below. So it is with us. We need a few rooftop times with God so that we might find the strength for our body and our soul to do what God has called us to do. And in so doing, we will regain our focus so that no person or demon will be able to distract us from what is really important. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Veterans Day was yesterday, which makes this Veterans Weekend for us and also Veterans Sunday for us. And one of our traditions here in this church is invite all veterans of our military services to stand and announce their branch of service. So at this time, all those who are military veterans, I'm going to invite you to stand at this moment so we can recognize you. So if you would. And we're going to start in the choir. Please give your name and your branch of service, John.
John Heerman, Army.
Dave Heerman, Army.
John Robbins, Army.
Okay, and we'll move over here.
Carlos Marquez, Air Force. Barry Boone, Air Force. Barry Hinchman, Air Force.
Roger Foley, Air Force.
There you go.
David Wright, U.S. Army.
Okay, over here, yes.
Roy Baker, Navy.
All right, back here. Back. Maybe. Way back there, Glenn.
Glenn Carlton, U.S. Navy.
All right. Did I miss anybody? Thank you all for your service. Give a round of applause. You may be seated. Let us take a moment and offer our silent prayers to God, and then I will lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord God, hear our prayers. O God, the righteous one, we thank you for our military veterans and for the service they have rendered to us through their sacrifice and toil. We thank you that they are with us to bear witness for us to the freedoms we enjoy and the price of those freedoms. In the same way, we give thanks for those who gave their lives in service and continue to ask blessings upon their families for the burdens they have borne. May we be ever grateful. And in turn, we pray for those who are currently serving in our military that you watch over them and protect them as they serve to protect us. We pray that you would give the church the wisdom and courage to testify of the faith that fills us, so that your people may be brought from fear and uncertainty into faith. We pray that people everywhere might be awakened to the urgent need for the proper care of your creation, so that seas and lands, hills and rivers may thrive and proclaim God's praise. We pray that you would protect those who are suffering from persecution of any kind, whether it be from political stands or economic conditions or convictions of faith. We pray in particular for those parts of the world for which people have turned to war and violence as an answer. Please lead them towards an answer that's better than those answers. We pray that you, Lord of love, might rise up with healing for those who are sick, comfort for those who are grieving, especially for those whom we've mentioned this morning. And we pray that our congregation might be strengthened so that we will not be weary in doing the tasks that you have called us to. In thanksgiving for the saints who were granted the opportunity to testify to Christ and who endured suffering on account of their faith, we pray that their witness may inspire us to also testify to Christ with words and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. O Lord God, we bring these petitions before you and all else that you know that we need. We ask that you hear our prayers for the sake of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite Caitlin Casti and Liz Gowan to come up and share a few words about an event that's going to happen in December.
So believe it or not, the Christmas season is just around the corner. And so we're here this morning to tell you about a new event that's going to be coming up. So the church is going to be hosting an Advent lunch and craft workshop on Sunday, December 10th, immediately following the church service. So we will start with lunch, and then after lunch we'll have a variety of crafts and activities available for people to do. This is intended to be an intergenerational event. So we will have crafts and activities for kids and youth, but we will also have crafts and activities that are geared towards teens and adults. So we really want to invite and encourage everyone to attend, regardless of which one of those groups you fall into. So we really just hope it'll be a time of good fellowship, a time to connect with friends, new and old, and just celebrate the Advent season with our church family. So we are asking that you RSVP so we can make sure we have enough food, of course, for everybody, but also supplies for those activities. So there is a sign up in the white binder out in the gathering hall. You can also call the church office. For those of you watching online, we'll put a Facebook post up and you can reply to that and RSVP that way. But hopefully everyone can attend. This is a great thing to invite grandchildren to, or friends of your kids, or neighbors. It should be a great time. In addition to the lunch and the kind of crafts and activity component, we also wanted to incorporate a mission component to it, and Lizzie's gonna talk a little bit more about that.
For sure. So we will actually have two mission activities planned as part of this event. The first one being one of the stations at this event, we will be writing letters and creating cards for the members of our church who are either homebound or in college, so that we can take a moment to connect with those that we don't see every day and let them know that we're thinking about them. And then the second event that we're doing in conjunction with this is we are hosting a donation drive for Star House. So if you're not familiar with Star House, they are a 24/7 drop-in center located in downtown Columbus, and they serve the homeless youth in our community. So Star House works with youth age 14 to 24 and provide them with immediate services such as shelter, food, clothing, showers, laundry services, a space to charge their phones. But they also provide more stabilizing services such as health checks and counseling services, art classes, cooking classes. They serve over 1,000 youth in our community every single year, so they're a really great organization. Out in the lobby area, you will see a Christmas tree with little stars and a card attached. So we invite you to take a star off of the tree, take the card with you, and on the back of the card are some of the most requested items with that Star House requests for their youth. So we invite you to take those, go shopping with your Christmas shopping, and bring those back at the event on December 10th.
Thank you. And let us now give our offerings to God.
Join together in the prayer of dedication. God of all creation, for all good gifts, we give you thanks. For all the gifts that we have wasted, neglected, or abused, we ask your forgiveness. For all the gifts that we offer this day, we ask for your blessing. Amen. Now let's join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
A reminder to all that you're invited downstairs for coffee, cookies, juice, and for a chance to shop for one of those Christmas presents you need to get through the Partners in Conservation Craft Store, which is all down below us. You can go down those stairs in the elevator over there. Please join us downstairs. And when you do leave this place, go with the blessings of God this day and every day. Amen.